Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, and I had one question for really everybody, which is, what is the deal with all these whores? There are so many whores on the internet. They're just countless. I'm just overwhelmed every day by these fucking whores, dude. It's like, I can't escape the whores. I feel like my phone, just walking around New York City, it feels like I am Legend, where I'm Will Smith, except instead of zombies, it's whores. Seriously, the modern day whore is also not... It's a little discreet, you know. The 2020 word for whore is a fitness influencer. They don't say whore. It is fitness influencer, but it's the same thing. Cause none of these fucking fitness influencers, none of them are doing fitness. Their Instagram bios would be like, "I love working out. I love getting a sweat in." But you won't find them doing a single push-up on their page. It's just them in different colored leggings. That's it. They just put on Lululemons and they're like, "Oh, ta-da, I'm a fitness influencer." No, you're just showing your ass. That's what their page is. Oh, here's my ass in green leggings. Here's my ass in blue leggings. Here's my ass. It's just their ass. And it's not even a different pose. It's the same pose. It's them turned around, their ass is facing the camera, and then they have their head turned around, so they're facing the camera. That's it. That's all their pose. It's like, dude, I want to see you do a pull-up. I want to see one of you fucking Instagram whores actually do a pull-up, and then you can say, yeah, I'm a fitness influencer. And then some of them try. Some of them will try to post that workout videos, but you can tell. They've never worked out a day in their life. They're just naturally skinny women with fat asses. Like, some of them will try to, like, do a push-up. It's like their fucking forearms are shaking. Their pelvis is touching the floor. Their form is just terrible. It's like, yeah, I'm not gonna take fitness advice from you. And listen, there's nothing wrong with being a whore. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being a whore. But rest assured, you're a whore. So those are Instagram whores, fitness influencer. Then... you have Twitter whores, which, you know, Twitter whores are different because whores on Twitter will literally just come out and be like, yeah, I'm a slut, which I respect. At least they're being straightforward. They'll be like, listen, I'm slutty. I'm not that good looking. I'm actually borderline ugly. But here are my nudes. I sell them for $3 a pop. I mean, price is pretty good, so take them. And fucking thirsty Twitter dudes, take them. Twitter is just like social media for ugly people because you have to use your words. God, people on Twitter are so fucking ugly. The people who are like considered good looking on Twitter, they're considered good looking because their face actually looks like a face. Everyone else's face looks like mayonnaise in the sun. Like potato salad that's been in a hot car for 4 hours. That's what everyone else looks like. But if your nose can be recognized as a nose by a 5-year-old child, you're a hottie on Twitter. You're the tits. Yeah, it's crazy because Twitter is all about like, oh, here are my fucking words, but you know, girls will just post pictures of their tits. And then they'll get like a billion likes, and it's like, well, you know, I'm jealous. I wish I could do that. I can't do it. They're whores too. And again, I say this out of envy, all right? I wish I could do that. I sincerely wish I could do that. I can't. My Chinese nipples aren't attracting anyone. If only. Maybe a couple creepy old women with fetishes, but besides that, it's like, yeah, I can't sell my nipple pics for $3. No takers. So I have to use my words. That's the nature of being a comedian, man, is every comedians are just the least talented, like, entertainer. You know, you can't do accents and you can't emote, so you can't be an actor. You can't sing, so you can't be in a band. You have no physical gifts. You're not athletic, so you can't be like a stuntman or a dancer. So it's like, what do you do? Well, I guess I'll fucking tell jokes. And that's the nature of comedy. Is comedy is just... Comedy is such a learned skill. Like, there are very, 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 very few people who are just naturally funny. Like, truly, truly naturally funny. Yeah, sure, with your friends, you know, you can make them laugh or whatever. But that's only because you're comfortable with them. But most people are just not comfortable enough around strangers to actually make them laugh. Every 40 years, there's one guy. Every 40 years, there's one guy who's naturally talented. Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle. Those are the two. Those are the two. No one else. Every other funny person, any other funny comedian there is, it's like they worked for it. So that's how comedy works. And comedy right now is in a very precarious state just because there are very few shows to do. And a lot of the shows are very poor quality or they're like outdoors. But I'm actually very optimistic for comedy. My comedy situation is pretty good. I do shows like almost every night of the week. And considering the environment we are in right now, that's pretty fucking good. And they aren't the greatest shows on the planet, but I'm still getting up. I'm still doing comedy, which is a great thing. But I'll tell you one thing is comedy audiences during the pandemic are way cooler than before the pandemic. Audiences laugh at everything. I haven't encountered an audience that like has gotten offended. No one's gotten offended yet. That shit used to happen all the time before the pandemic. Audience would just get offended at the littlest thing. Dude, I did this Brooklyn show the other day. I used the word bitch. I talked about smacking bitches. That was my joke. And it fucking killed. Before the pandemic, if you said bitch in Brooklyn, you would just bomb for the next 8 minutes. Because everyone would just glare at you. You can't see anywhere. But people are so bored during the pandemic. And people actually know what hardship is. Because people are becoming homeless, dude. People are losing money. Their relatives are dying. It sucks. Shit sucks right now. And people need comedy. People need comedy. And so people actually want to laugh. Before the pandemic, man, everything was going too well. The fucking stock market was going through the roof. Everyone had money. No one was dying. Everyone was living till like 116 years old. It's too much. It was too much good shit. So that's why life was too good. And then you just get offended at pronouns, you know? But now it's just like, well, you know, my grandmother just died yesterday. So he, she, it doesn't really fucking matter. You just call me whatever you want. And I think comedy is going to make a resurgence, dude. The quality of comedy for the past like 8 years had really took a fucking hit because of the rise of PC comedy. And that is because life was too good. Life was just too fucking good, man. People kept joking about their social anxiety, all the Brooklyn comics. Oh, I get so nervous when talking to people. Now it's just like, I don't want to hear about that. I don't care about social anxiety. That doesn't make me laugh. Actually say something that will make me laugh. Talk about smacking bitches, all right? That's why everyone's got to talk about smacking bitches like me. That's where real comedy is. Hitting women. So yeah, I'm excited for the prospect of real comedy coming back. I mean, it's crazy because I started comedy in Atlanta, Georgia, and in Atlanta, Georgia, the scene is really, really weird because there's a lot of really, really PC comics down there. And the people who were running the scene when I started, they were these super PC, a lot of them were just not funny at all. But they would laugh at each other's shit, and then they'd do a show and then they'd fucking bomb. But when they were performing at open mics, they'd just all laugh at each other's shitty jokes. And now, you know, I get updated on the Atlanta scene, and like all of them quit. They're all done. And it's great because the comics that are left, they're fucking killer. They're like, they're actually funny people. And that gets me horny, dude. I'm like, fuck yeah, bro. All you unfunny hacks, you PC. I think that women's rights, followed by a non-joke. Yeah, you're done. It's because you never liked comedy. So thank God you're out of the scene. And it's the same thing with New York, dude. I mean, New York, like, there are no Brooklyn comics right now who are actually still doing shows. And a lot of comics think, like, oh, well, being inactive during this period of time isn't going to be a big deal. It is a big deal. Because shows are happening and people are doing shit. And comedy's just moving on without you. So you got to stay in it. It's hard. It's hard to do. It's hard to do just because, like, comedy isn't totally open and it's not totally closed. So you can't just be like, oh, I can lay back. Or you can't just be like, I'm going to go full force. You have to be flexible and be like, all right, I'm just going to get up the days I can. And that's hard for a lot of people. But that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. I was talking about smacking bitches earlier, which... I wonder, like, when, you know, hitting your wife became a thing where it was frowned upon. Because what people, the way people make it seem like it, people make it seem like it used to be a mainstream thing. Like, hitting your wife. Was it, though? Like, I don't know, man. That's something that doesn't really need to be taught to me. Like, as a kid, I could probably recognize that, yeah, maybe you shouldn't beat your wife. Like, if my dad hit my mom, I probably would be pretty perturbed. I wouldn't have to be like, oh, that's pretty normal. I have to... No, I'd be like, what the fuck? So that's something that, like... I don't know if it was ever mainstream, hitting your wife. I did hear about this one rule where if the stick you beat your wife was thicker than your thumb, then that's illegal. But as long as it wasn't thick as your thumb, then that's okay. Which is a hilarious rule. That's fucking hilarious, dude. Because, dude, there's some dudes with fucking big-ass hands out there. Some dudes have some big-ass hands, and I feel sorry for their wives. Trump has big-ass hands. You think he beats Melania with a fucking trumpet? I saw this one YouTube video of this guy who, dude, he had this disease where his hands wouldn't stop growing. So his fucking hands... Dude, he was holding a soda can, and it looked like a Tic Tac in his hand. That's how big his fucking hands were. He made a soda can look like a Tic Tac. Imagine if that fucking stick rule was applied to that guy. He could literally pick up a tree from the stump and just beat his wife with it like a great red oak, and it still wouldn't be illegal. He's like, it's still not a stick in my thumb. Just, I don't know what to say. I feel bad for that guy just because if you really have big hands, like, you know how small your dick looks in those hands when you're holding it? That guy can't even beat off properly. That disease only applies to his hands. It doesn't apply to his dick. So he's probably jerking it with his fucking pointer finger and thumb, just moving that shit up and down. He can't fist it or else it'll probably get Hulk smashed. That would suck. Or you just pull it out and the girl's like, what? Is that a micro dick? What the fuck? It's like, no, my hands are just the size of the Empire State Building. My dick is normal. It's all relative, baby. That's why I recommend hand reduction surgery for all gentlemen out there. A lot of women, they get breast implants, breast enlargements. The equivalent for dudes is hand reduction. You know, it doesn't matter if you only got a 4-inch or when you're rock hard. If you have Lego hands, your dick is going to look huge. It's going to look huge. And trust me, when you stick it in, she won't even think about it. She won't be like, oh, it feels kind of small in my regular size pussy. She's going to be like, wow, do you see the size of his dick compared to his hands? That's a real man right there. What the fuck am I talking about? This is ridiculous. I was talking about comedy and shit. Hand sizes, feet sizes. There's the thing that of, like, the feet. Like, the feet, if you have big feet, you got a big dick. I mean, dude, I think it's just your height, right? That's what determines dick size, I feel like. I mean, generally. Of course, there are guys who are 5'6" who have, like, you know, they're rocking, like, 12 inches. And there's, like, guys who are, like, 6'8" with, like, a 4-incher. But generally, it should be height, right? That makes the most sense. I like how there's no definitive... there's no definitive answer on that. Like, what makes a dude's dick bigger? just because it'll make men feel bad. That's hilarious. It's like, well, men are generally the average is, 6 inches, so. It's like, it doesn't matter if you're 8 feet tall or 4 foot tall. Everyone has the same size dick. That's kind of the answer they indirectly implied to Matt. Everyone's 6 inches. You don't have to worry about it. You think Shaq doesn't have a bigger dick than Peter Dinklage? I would bet the house on Shaq. I don't know. Call me crazy, but I would bet that Shaq has a pretty big cock. I don't know. God, could you imagine getting fucked by Shaq? Like, dude, you gotta be like, if you're an NBA gold digger and you're just fucking these dudes who are like 7 feet tall, you honestly, see, you're a whore. But, like, I respect you a lot more than the Instagram whores because, first of all, you're getting your hands dirty. That's old school whore right there. You'd actually have to blow a guy instead of just posting a picture of your ass. I wonder if like, old school gold diggers talk about new age whores like that. Like, ugh, I had to walk 30 miles to get to a guy's cock. You just do it virtually. I would be salty. Old school gold diggers just had to, they had to blow old dicks. They had to stick an old veiny penis in their mouth. And they'd have to go down in it for like 3 hours because the dude's old so he can't come. And then these fucking new age whores are just showing their titties. They're literally posting like one titty, if that. And people are paying like hundreds of dollars for that shit. Bro, if I were a gold digger, man, I'd just be so angry. Be like, these kids don't know how it's done. They don't have the discipline to actually go after a man's money. I mean, these women are independent, dude. These fucking new age whores are independent. They don't have to rely on marrying a dude because they're getting money from dudes all around the world. So yeah, you got to respect the hustle, and you got to respect technology. Just making life easier for everybody. I can't even imagine how it's going to be in the future, right? Like how easy is that? Just making money. Just you send a picture of your nipple through the interwebs, and then you get like $3,000 from like 100 anonymous gentlemen. In the future, it's going to be easier, but I can't even fathom how. You know? Maybe you don't even have to take a picture in the future. Maybe you just... Dude, I don't even know. I can't even conceptualize it. That's... But, you know, these whores, they always find a way. They always find a way. What did I cover? I covered Instagram whores and I covered Twitter whores. But, yeah, there are also TikTok whores. Which TikTok whores are the worst because they're... Dude, they're like 13. That's so weird. I mean, I feel like TikTok... Isn't that just weird? You just see like a 13-year-old like just shaking her ass. You know? Cause like TikTok recommends those videos to everybody. Like you just open TikTok and it's a 13-year-old shaking her ass. It's like, bro, why am I looking at this right now? I don't want to see this. I do not want to see this. But TikTok's like, yeah, 13-year-old. Yeah, on a platter. I'm like, God damn it. Dude. I mean, I think what TikTok needs to do is if you watch like 3 underage videos in a row, then a mandatory video of Chris Hansen comes up and is like, should you be doing that? That's the ideal solution. And then the phone should screenshot you. And then they should have a wall of pedos. But yeah, dude, TikTok whores. Any other social media platforms? I think that's it. But yeah, dude, a lot of whores, man. What else is going on? Dude, I keep seeing people buy milk from CVS. CVS, Duane Reade, Walgreens. It's fucking weird. Just people buying milk from, like, pharmacies, dude. It just weirds me out. There was one interaction which was really, really weird to me. It was this old white dude in his like 50s, and he bought like a bunch of like Tostitos chips and then beer and cheese, and then he bought a carton of whole milk, and then he said to the cashier, he was like, "Well, I know this is really unhealthy, but at least I have the milk." What? Are you saying your whole milk is healthy? Dude, first of all, you got cheese, okay? That's a lot of fucking dairy. You eating a bunch of fucking nacho cheese, washing it down with beer, and then drinking some milk. The shit you take tomorrow morning is just going to be absurd. That just seems like a way to shit the bed, honestly. Just consuming all those things. I hope he didn't eat all those things in one sitting. But it's also like, dude, whole milk? Whole milk. How do you consider that healthy? Maybe 1%, 2% skim, oat, almond? Ever hear almond milk? This dude drinking whole milk and considering it healthy. I guess I don't even know what a bad day for him is. Probably just going to the M&M store and just buying everything there, just eating it all. But it does weird me out because, you know, apart from that guy, I've seen a lot of other cases of people buying milk at, like, a pharmacy, dude. That's fucking weird. That's fucking weird. Because a pharmacy is a place, dude, that's where I buy, like, my foot cream. You're gonna purchase milk from the same place, like, I get my foot cream from? Ugh. You want to buy milk at a place that sells, like, fresh celery, you know? Not Preparation H. It's like some dude's dipped his hemorrhoids in your milk. It's like, ugh. Gross. Fucking gross, dude. So one thing I've been doing, I've been watching videos of like fake martial artists. It's been really entertaining. It's been great. Like fake martial artists versus like MMA fighters. It's actually a weird story. My friend reached out to me the other day. Well, first of all, he's an old friend, and he runs this YouTube channel called Fight Commentary Breakdowns, where he breaks down a lot of fights between like MMA fighters and like fake martial artists. And he has like over 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. And I've actually watched his videos before, but I didn't realize that it was my old friend. I'm talking like old friend. Like, this was my friend when I was like 7 years old. But he reached out to me on Instagram and was like, "Hey, dude, like, do you remember me?" And I was like, "Oh shit, I didn't even realize it was fucking you." So shout out to that channel, man. Fight Commentary Breakdowns is run by my friend. And I mean, he's doing a lot better than my fucking YouTube is, so I don't even know why I'm shouting him out. But yeah, dude, fights between like Chinese martial artists and because here's the problem with a lot of traditional Chinese martial arts is like they never spar. That's a huge problem. When you're actually learning to fight, it's totally different than like doing a form. Fighting is its own thing. You have to get used to like being punched in the head. And dealing with punches thrown at you and doing forms doesn't really teach you that. So a lot of traditional Chinese martial arts, they don't practice sparring. So that's why they get their ass kicked. And, you know, when they face like MMA and shit. I do believe, though, that like back in the day, Chinese martial arts did work. I think a lot of like the forms and the way they fight, it actually makes sense. Like getting low, going for the legs, a lot of the throws. Like Sancho, which is when you think of like the UFC, you think of there's like four pillars. There's like Muay Thai, wrestling, boxing, and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And in terms of striking, you know, Muay Thai and boxing or kickboxing, you know, those are considered the main arts, but the one thing that rivals those two arts is Sancho, which is Chinese kickboxing, and it was created by the Chinese military back in like, I don't know, the 1800s or the early 1900s. And they took elements from traditional Chinese martial arts, like that's where it's based off of. And that shit is extremely effective. A lot of the throws, a lot of the, you know, the kicks, the punches, it all, it goes very, very well with MMA. So, yeah, I just think that, you know, traditional Chinese martial arts just stopped sparring at one point. And the application just became lost, and now there's just a bunch of fake, Chinese martial artists out there. I still believe there's some real ones, some fucking monks in the mountains somewhere just doing crazy shit, breaking stones with their heads. I think like two of them exist. I think two of them. But besides that, they're all gone. I mean, it's interesting because Chinese martial arts is arguably the very first martial art to be gentrified. We know that happened with karate. Every fucking two-year-old gets a black belt. You if you're at a karate studio for like 3 months, black belt. Most of them. There's some legit karate places. And that's the same with the Chinese martial arts, you know. You just get your black belt and then just, you know, fucking prance around claiming that you know Eagle Fist, and then you get your fucking ass kicked by some Muay Thai dude. It's kind of happening to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I think there's a lot of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu schools that are getting, you know, not very good. I mean, they can all kick my ass, let's be honest. But that's something that I've heard a lot of top Jiu-Jitsu practitioners talk about. As they're like, yeah, I mean, the art is becoming gentrified, and the quality is decreasing. But that's okay, you know. It's a natural part of things. It is a natural part of life. Okay, here's the last thing I'll talk about is dude, I think one of the most satisfying things you could hear, and this is just because I heard this recently. Just because I heard it on an interview, like one of my exes actually did an interview and I was listening to it, and she was saying how I really hurt. I knew she was talking about me. She was like, how I really hurt her, which that's one of the most satisfying things you can hear from an ex, that you really hurt them. It's like, wow, I made an impact. Little old me, I made an impact. I guess I am pretty sexy, so, you know, makes total sense. That's satisfying, dude. Knowing that you actually have the capability to hurt someone else, because that means you actually mattered. The worst thing you can hear is, wait, what was his name? Who's that? Oh, that dude. Yeah, he had weird balls. That's probably the worst thing. I mean, if anyone has like a super negative reaction to something, I mean, it clearly means that it meant something to them, you know? That's why like all these people who hate Trump, it's like just like vehemently, just like really just hating this motherfucker. And I can understand like, okay, if your grandmother or someone close to you died from coronavirus because Trump handled it so poorly, yeah, you can hate that motherfucker. But like before all this shit happened, people just hated him. And it's just like, dude, were you just like the biggest fan of The Apprentice and you're just angry that it shut down? Why are you so angry? You don't know this motherfucker. Trump is like sad now too. He's like seeing his tweets. It's a sad drop off because his tweets are getting less and less likes. Like right after the election, he was like, voter fraud. There's voter fraud. Blah, 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 blah. And it was getting like 200,000 likes and like near a million fucking likes. And now it's down to like 50,000 every time he says voter fraud. And every press conference he does, he seems a little sad. It's like, man, the character was great while it lasted. It was fucking great while it lasted. But I think it's coming to a close. And the era of Donald Trump is over. I was actually listening to like interviews of Trump. Or with Trump, like him on like Conan and him on like Letterman. Back in the early days where he was just a harmless reality TV billionaire. And he was really likable, dude. the audiences loved him. He was like, every time like the host made fun of him, like he would laugh. Like he was a likable guy. But that's just what happens when you get into politics, dude, is everyone just fucking hates you. You could just be the most lovable person on the planet. Like, could you imagine if like Obama was like a movie star or like a social media star? Like, I don't think a single fucking person would hate that guy. He's just too charming, dude. He's just the total package in terms of charm. But because he's a politician, yeah, half the country fucking hates him, you know? Donald Trump was, dude, people love that guy, man. You're fired. You're fired. I mean, it's crazy, dude. You think about the people who run for office. I mean, if you're a politician, man, everyone around you loves you, dude. Like, thinking about, like, the people from my college who, like, wanted to be politicians, they were the type of people who, like, you know, they were good students, they were perfect, everyone loved them. No one could find a single bad thing to say about them. But once they become politicians, it's like, yeah, fuck you, dude. I also have a problem with, like, those types of people, though. Like, those people who, think about, like, you know, back in college, like, the president of your class. Right? Mr. Picture Perfect. That guy's a creep. Dude's like Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby was like that. He was like the president of the United States unofficially in the 80s. Dr. Huxtable? Yeah, sure. You know, Ronald Reagan was the actual president. But Dr. Huxtable ran shit. We all know that. Dr. Huxtable was the shit. But, you know, it turns out he was drugging people and solving people's sleep issues. So, yeah, I mean, anyone who just seems like too perfect, I mean, there's just... It's just that creep factor. Like everyone is weird and everyone is fucking creepy and everyone does wrong shit. And you just have to know how much of it is it's how much you hide it. And if you hide a lot of it, it only causes you to do more like weird shit. Like fucking like Japanese people, they're so proper, dude. They're the most proper, polite people on the planet. And that's why their porn is just outrageous. Their porn is literally just like tentacles, fucking tentacles. Like two tentacles will just be slapping each other and then Japanese people will just get off to that. It's because it's too repressed, dude. And that's why like you see politicians like having sex scandals all the time. It's like they have to be proper, prim and proper all the time. Anthony Weiner, do you remember that guy? He was a fucking Democrat who got in trouble because he was just sending pictures of his crotch to everybody. Just every living female, he was just sending pictures of his crotch too. That's almost too ironic. It's too easy. It's too easy of a joke. It's like his last name is Wiener, and he was sending pictures of his dick. It's like, wow, universe, could you be more hack? Shame on you. That one's too easy. So yeah, I don't like those people. You know, it's always like the fucking weirdos. Like, here's my rule, all right? If someone is addicted to meth, you know you can trust them. Because they're already addicted to meth, they got nothing to lose. They're the most honest people on the planet. I'll suck your dick for 5 cents. Yeah, he means it. He's got to buy meth. Heroin comes in a close second. I don't even know what I'd rather be addicted to. Heroin or meth? I mean, I feel like I'd rather be addicted to heroin, honestly, because meth addicts just look so bad. There's some dignified people who are addicted to heroin. Ray Charles? All that movie Ray did. Remember that movie Ray with Jamie Foxx? All it did was make me want to try heroin. I'm like, dude, if Ray Charles is doing it, I'll fucking do it too. Sounds like the way to create great gospel music. But meth addicts, there is no one who did anything on meth. Zero. So heroin is hailed as like the worst drug on the planet. It's not, dude. It's not. You have a good time. You write Georgia on my mind. You end segregation. And yeah. But, you know, meth is... I don't know what you're doing, dude. don't know what you're doing. You're just like eating rats. You're catching squirrels in the park and eating them raw. That's what meth addicts do. Meth addicts look so bad. They look so bad. And they're all in Oklahoma. They're all in Wyoming. In the Midwest. I mean, there's like the Midwest and the middle of the country. It has a huge like opiate problem. Like everyone is addicted to fucking drugs. Because people are bored. I mean, there's nothing else to do. On Friday night, you hang out at Walmart, and then you go to McDonald's, and then that's your fucking Friday night. That's called going out. You put on your best dancing shoes, and you go to Target if you're fancy. Only if it's, you know, your girl, the fifth anniversary between you and your girl. Otherwise, if it's just a regular Friday, we're going to Applebee's. That's it. There's nothing else to do. So it's like, yeah, let's do some fucking meth and let's get addicted to opiates. And there's a huge fucking opiate problem, which as an Asian guy, I'm like, hey, listen, white people getting addicted to opiates. The irony. Oh, the irony. My fucking ancestors in the 1800s, they were all smoking that pipe. Now you know how it feels, motherfuckers. Now you know. But seriously, it's a problem. It's a serious problem, man. People are dying, getting addicted to drugs. And pharmacies are just like, we don't care. We do not care. Well, that's going to be fucking enough time, dude, for this podcast. You guys remember to, if you enjoy this podcast, share it with someone who you think it would enjoy. And write to me and rate on Apple Podcasts. But you guys have a good one, and I will see you guys next week.